Seated as we welcome Paul Ackerman to the stage from Kairos Prison Ministry. Yeah, give him a warm welcome.
Thank you. Am I on? Okay. Thanks. I just quickly say I just got back from almost a two-week trip in Utah, leaving my wife behind. I got in bed last night at 2 o'clock, and Doug Janney asked me to speak on Kairos this morning, so I'm glad to be back, and it's great to be back with my church family. Many of you know Kairos is a prison ministry focused on the Toledo Correctional Institute, a maximum security prison where about 1,000 inmates that we call residents reside. Out of those 1,000 inmates, last count was we can only go in and minister to 24. It's a state law that only 24 can be gathered together in one group. So the inmates that want to go through our Kairos program often come for different reasons. Some will tell you initially, well, we heard that you bring in great food, or we heard that they cook a lot of cookies, bake a lot of cookies, and they'll come for some reason like that, only to find a saving knowledge and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The interesting thing about Kairos is, to me, is when you sit down with these men that are very non-trusting, they do not know about love, they do not know how to trust people, Satan has an incredible stronghold inside the prisons. And our church family, through prayer, which is extremely important, you don't accomplish anything without prayer. And in fact, I talked to Doug Janney this morning. He says, encourage the congregation to be praying while you're talking for the inmates. This weekend, this next weekend, is one of two weekends that a group of about 40 to 50 men will go in there and provide food, provide counseling, really Christianity 101. They don't understand a loving God that gives what we just sang about, grace. And I want to share with you, I've done before, these cookies are like a currency. They're not just a treat that we give these men. You see, I had a friend in the ministry next door who's in the congregation now share with me that the temperature goes down in the jail, in the prison, after a Kairos weekend. Here's why. We have asked to have hundreds of dozens of cookies, which now they have enough. So if you brought some, thank you. Take them home and eat them. And I will catch you next time. They've already been sorted. What these cookies do, not only as an act of love, but they're given extra cookies specifically to give to someone that hates them, or someone that they hate. And there's a lot of hate inside that jail. There's gangs. There's oftentimes violence against people. And as I said, Satan has a real stronghold. One of the biggest changes that I've seen happen is these men are so tough. Some of them will just kill you rather than look at you. They have one big fear. They have a lot of fears, but one fear they have is standing up and talking in front of a crowd. So what happens on Sunday? This starts on Thursday, and what happens on Sunday afternoon? If you've never been to a closing, if you never got involved with Kairos, I really hope that everybody at one time will make a point to go to a Sunday afternoon closing. You sign up a couple weeks in advance, they check you out, you go in, and you see men come in, they know they're going to a ceremony, they know they're coming to some kind of a closing, and then they're asked, and all of a sudden they'll see 100 people, and you all see the look on their face, because they don't know, wow, the public came here to show love to us by being here, and they sort of graduate from this session on Christianity, and to see them get up slowly and be able to speak in front of a crowd and see how that brings tears to your eyes, because these guys, just, that's their biggest fear, to share anything in their heart with men. We treat them with respect. That's one thing they don't understand. So I want to wrap up by saying this. Please pray, especially from noon this coming Thursday through Sunday afternoon, because Satan does not want us there. He wants to keep these people captive in more ways than one, okay? If you ever have a leading from the Lord to be involved, we need chaplains. We need volunteers. Sometimes people go, I'm too busy. Yeah, we're always too busy. But we need to have people involved with these men. It's extremely rewarding to see these men come to a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ inside those walls. God can penetrate those walls with no problem, but he needs people to be his feet, his hands, and his voice. But prayer, and next time, next March when we have a weekend, and we can ask to bake cookies, they're extremely important because it breaks down walls between people that hate each other. And I think with that, I'll say thanks for having us and keep Kairos and inmates in prayer. Thank you.
You may be seated and welcome Jennifer Hess from Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Good morning. I want to first off thank all of you for allowing me, the church and the congregation, for just being a supporter of FCA through the years. Honestly, your support for the years, even before I was on staff, has just solidified, even in me, throughout the years, a new position that I'm taking. So if you're familiar with FCA, you may not be familiar with my face, and that's okay. I've actually been on staff since 2019, and I came on in a non-traditional way, to a part of our ministry that was still kind of budding, and honestly was budding here in Toledo first, so we can actually give ourselves a round of applause for that. FCA typically runs huddle ministries out of junior high and high schools. We minister to coaches and athletes there at their home schools. Well, obviously, you've all heard about this thing called COVID that came through not too long ago, and it started to limit access to schools for safety reasons. But not only that, there's legislation out there currently that could limit our access to schools. And here in Toledo, when I was brought on 3 years ago, we were doing club sports ministry. And if you don't know what club sports are, if you have grandchildren or children, I'm sure that you've heard of it. It's pretty big and it's pretty growing, and it's outside of schools. It's where kids play soccer, softball, volleyball on teams where they pay money and they travel. And so it's been a perfect opportunity here in Toledo to meet kids and coaches on the field of play where they're at. It's also opened up the avenue of younger kids being in our program from 8 years old and up, a part of the mission that we hadn't been able to hit within schools as easily. So my husband and I actually, we run FCA softball out of here in Toledo. We started it 3 years ago. We're going into our fourth season. And this season has just been a blessing. We've doubled numbers every year. We currently have 80 kids in our program and 13 coaches, and we are just blessed by what we're able to minister to kids. One of the things we do is we offer devotionals to these kids each week. We provide coaches' Bibles and student-athlete Bibles that are directly related to their sports. They have devotionals that they can walk through with their kids, the coaches. And we like to pour into the coaches because, honestly, the coaches have a great influence on these kids' lives. Sometimes they have more influence than other teachers or other people in their lives just because they're so passionate about their sport. So we have three huge events coming up that I'm super excited. First off, we're actually starting an FCA volleyball club, and it's kicking off on October 8th with partnership with Church of St. Andrews and Heather Downs. We're going to be running a clinic and camp there for $25 for kids ages 10 through 15. November 11th, we're hosting our annual Unity Breakfast, which actually is ahead of the BGUT game. And it's a great opportunity to bring current and former and alumni and student athletes to come and speak and share their testimonies. And then something I'm really, really excited about and is in the beginning planning stages, so you guys actually are the first to hear about this, is that we are a three-time Olympic gold medalist USA softball player has committed to coming in March 4th, 5th to run a clinic with our kids and also share her testimony, which is really, I actually had a chance to hear it in Dallas last December and is just amazing. And so we would love for you to continue. I mean, your partnership is great, but anybody that has a passion for sports and kids and Jesus in general, we'd love to have you on board, and we just thank you for the opportunity to share what we're doing here in Toledo. Thank you.
Would you please welcome Abby Segura.
Good morning. Many of you know about the After School Club. I believe we are beginning our 24th year here of the After School Club. The After School Club has been hosted graciously by First Alliance Church for all of those years. We meet traditionally on Tuesdays and Thursdays from about 3:45 till 7 p.m. We have homework help from about 4 to 5, and then we do kind of life skills, enrichment activities with the kids from 5 to 6. From 6 to 6:30, we have what we affectionately refer to as Jesus Talk, in which we bring in someone from the community or someone from our church home and just share with the kids what God's doing in their life, share their testimony, something God has put on their heart. And then from 6:30 to 7, we feed them a meal and we send them home. Now, about 3 years ago, God laid on the heart of our board president that we are for kids from 4th to 8th grade. Well, when they graduate from the After School Club in 8th grade, it's kind of like a see you later. You know, we have no connection piece for them past 8th grade. And so God laid it on the heart of our board president, I want to change that. I want to do something different. And so 3 years ago, he began to pray. Earlier this spring, we had a situation where we had an opportunity to send some kids to Beulah Beach camps for the summer. And we, as a board, met and said, what kids do we want to send? You know, we have a few scholarship opportunities. Who should it be? So as the board, we prayed, what kids should we send? And we prayed and God moved. And God said, these are the kids. And so we were able to send 4 kids to camp. And 2 of those kids this summer, one of them, she accepted Jesus for the very first time at camp. And the other one rededicated her life to Christ. Later this spring, we were looking for a new assistant director. And as a board, we prayed. We said, God, who is it? That day, the board had been fasting and praying for the day, and a board member felt led to call a friend and have a conversation, and it was out of that conversation that a name came up. And so we prayed, and God moved, and we hired a new assistant director this summer. Her name is Olivia White. She grew up here at First Alliance Church. And we are so excited to have Olivia on board with us for this upcoming year and on. And then later this summer, Pastor Mike texted me and he said, Abby, I have this vision. I don't know what to do with it. Can we talk? Can we see how this could work? And I said, let's talk. He had a vision of, do you think you could switch club nights so that the kids will be here for youth group, which is 9th to 12th grade, as well as middle school? And so once again, the prayer that started 3 years ago of what are we going to do with these kids after 8th grade, God is moving. And so we have changed club nights to be Tuesdays and Wednesdays so that kids will be here on Wednesday from 4 to 6:30 as part of club. And then at 6 o'clock on those days, we're going to have a meal. So for kids who are coming for youth group, if they need to come early to have a meal, they can come at 6, eat our meal with the After School Club kids, and then they're going to be a part of youth group from 6:30 to 8 on Wednesday nights. So that is big news. But really what I'm here to tell you this morning is that the After School Club is God's ministry. God works, God moves. It has been his for 24 years, and we are the vessels. And we have to be faithful to the call and to the responsibility that he's placed on each one of us as volunteers and as leaders. And we have to be willing to be the vessel and be listening to him and for his direction. And so I'm thanking God for his direction this year and just the many ways that he's shaped the ministry and taken the ministry. And so I would just ask, if you feel like God is calling you to be a vessel to help with the After School Club, some of our biggest needs right now is homework help from 4 to 5 p.m. I know a lot of people's work schedules may not allow for that, but some may. So 4 to 5 p.m., come and help kids with homework. It's a lot easier to do like a one-on-one than if you're trying to help four kids at one time and they get a little distracted. So homework help from 4 to 5 p.m. or if you could provide a meal. Even once a month, we eat at 6:30 on Tuesdays and at 6 on Wednesday. That would be really helpful. So if you know how to reach me, you're more than welcome to. You can always reach out to the church office and they'll point you in the right direction. But thank you so much. We're excited for how God's going to continue to move in this upcoming school year.
Good morning. Good morning. Make sure I got this right. There we go. Good morning. It is so great to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Well, I believe that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Isn't that true? And I believe also that children are a gift, and grandchildren we get to experience for the very first time is a gift. And so Toledo Christian is just such a gift to me to be able to work there for the last 11 years. And many of you know Toledo Christian, but I want to tell a little bit of the story because I think it's very important. In this very church, in 1974, four people got together to pray about a church or a school that would align with what they believe. And that was Jim Ellinger, Cheryl Page, Erdene Krueger, and Pastor Keith Bartholomew, who was the youth pastor at the time. And 1 year later, Toledo Christian opened. And so now, 47 years later, we have 651 students at the school today, which is a major blessing. Amen. Amen. And so I couldn't be more excited to talk about Toledo Christian and what we're doing there. But you can also see our mission. There's some slides that are coming up. There we go. There's our mission. So that hasn't changed in 47 years. So we partner with Christian families. We provide a college preparatory Bible-centered educational program where we educate, disciple, and prepare students to follow Christ and impact culture. And I want to give you one of our recent graduates. I'll talk about the accreditation in a moment. But the recent graduate that really tells this story about, because I love to see what happens after they walk across the stage and get a diploma in their hand. After graduating from Toledo Christian in 1990, Dr. Jennifer Gregory went on to receive her bachelor's and master's degree from the University of Toledo. She then earned her medical degree from the University of Cincinnati College of Medicine in 2001. Jen completed her general surgery residency at Henry Ford Hospital and has been practicing general surgery at Toledo Hospital since 2006. Christian missions were always an important focus in Jen's life. And Jen made trips to India, Guatemala, China, Ghana, Togo, and finally Democratic Republic of Congo, where she spent a year as a surgeon teaching surgery to Congolese physicians. Isn't that amazing? So that's just one of the graduates. You know, that's not all of our graduates, because we have graduates all over the world now, over 2,000 of them, doing all kinds of things for Christ, and we're so thankful for it. But I want to show you a little bit about what's happening around TC. We just got reaccredited. We do this every 5 years through the Association of Christian Schools International. And so here's some of the exemplary things that are happening at Toledo Christian right now. So you see our governance, or the way that we run our school. And then you also look at the different things like Christ-like culture, which is super important. Amen. Safety and security these days, absolutely very, very important. And then you see student care and spiritual formation. On the spiritual formation side, it's important that you take a look at the wheel. There's a wheel on the next slide that you can see there that shows our spiritual growth track. So we believe that if you go, that, by the way, we're all on this wheel somewhere, if you really think about it. So we're either in the moment of knowing God, and that gives us freedom, right? And then you're able to then discover your purpose and then able to make a difference. We saw that in Dr. Gregory's life, and we see that throughout our students that graduate today. So we believe that we're all on that wheel right there at some point in time. Well, your current series, and I was so excited, I could go back into the 2 weeks that the pastors have spoke, is about restoring the soul, going through the Psalms. And so I thought, what a better way to do this than the Psalms that we got right now, 119:18 in the New Living Translation, which says, "Open my eyes to the wonderful truths, your instructions." That's one of our students right there. Isn't she cute? You see the wonder in her eyes. And she was in kindergarten at that time. Right now, that student right there is eighth grade. But I just love that picture so much, I kept it going. So, but Psalms 119:18 reminds all of us that we are, we need to open our eyes to see the wonderful truths of God's instruction. So I'm hopeful today, by explaining a little bit more about education, that we can all learn a little bit, and I think it would be very helpful to us. But let's first pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so honored to be able to be here today, to be able to share. And I'm so thankful for this church. Lord, how they've dedicated and committed to Toledo Christian all these years. Lord, the blessings are seen every day. We are so very thankful. Lord, I pray for this time now that I pray that your words would be heard and not mine, and that, Lord, that we would come away with here with something that would enrich our souls. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to ask you a question. In your mind, think about the answer to this. What is education? What is it? If you asked a bunch of teachers all around the city today or around the state of Ohio, they would give you varying answers. Something like information transformation or information gathering or the cultivation of information. But I really believe that education is formation. At the basic parts, it's formation. It's the cultivation of wisdom and virtue. It's central to a classical Christian education, which TCS has transitioned over the last 7 years to a classical Christian school. I'll explain that a little bit more in a minute. But Matt Whitling came up with this that I really like as well, because isn't that true? Education is a timed event with eternal consequences. It's very true. So this cultivation of wisdom and virtue, I think we're all called to. Classical Christian education understands reality is inherently divine. God's presence is in all things. It doesn't take but a moment for you to walk outside and see a sunset or a sunrise or the stars to realize that God is real, that he fashioned all of that for beauty. And so we believe that we are turning the affections of the hearts of our students towards truth, goodness, and beauty. God's truth, his goodness, and his beauty. Not the world's definition, but his. I had a teacher that recently wrote a paper for ACSI accreditation, and she wrote this. She said, in a culture where wrong seems right, right seems wrong, and making either of those claims is a reason to be canceled, modern Americans reminisce of bygone eras when our country was united through the common sense and shared values. Yet the path to our current disarray is nebulous in the minds of Americans. How'd we get here? What are we missing? Missing is exactly the word. There is an ancient, intentionally buried treasure called the Western Christian Paideia. It is beautiful and meaningful, and its absence is why the world feels upside down. Education, by definition, comes from the Latin word educare, which means to lead out. So think about schools today. Where are kids being led? The Greeks used to call it the telos. But when we look at the word paideia, what it means is the formation of wisdom and virtue, but a way of life. Chesterton said this, and he's an English writer and philosopher. He said, education is not a subject and does not deal in subjects. It is instead the transfer of a way of life. Did you not do that or try to do that as best you could with your own children in your home? You did. You tried to teach them your values as they were being raised, right? And so that's the Christian paideia, is just that, the transfer of the way of life. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible is Proverbs 4:23. And it says this, above all else, I love that, above all else, Solomon, the wisest, is telling us, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything. Thomas Cranmer, a leader during the English Reformation and the Archbishop of Canterbury, said this. He said, the mind is captive to what the will wants, and the will is captive to what the heart wants. Something we could all agree with. So that whole thing about paideia, in his book, Abolition of Man, to explain it a little bit more, hopefully you learned that word today, because that's one we don't speak about a lot, right? C.S. Lewis says this. He says, virtue is the result of having emotions that have been trained by habits. It is our habits that shape what our hearts love, and our hearts are touched through the practices and the physical experiences that we have. And so what I want to talk about today is some of those practices of habit shaping that we can help our children and our grandchildren to become more and more like Jesus. I love these practices when we talk about the question of how can we as a church bring about Paideia, that whole thing. C.S. Lewis said this, when we think about knowing God, I love it, in Mere Christianity, if you've ever read that book, it says this, he talked about knowing God, and he used the Atlantic Ocean as something to think about. How many people have been to the Atlantic? A lot of us, right? Go ahead, raise your hands if you've been to the Atlantic Ocean. So if you haven't, you would read about it, you would research about it, you would search about it, C.S. Lewis said, and then you'd think you'd know it, but you really don't know it until you experience it, until you feel the salt air on your face and the sand between your toes. That's how he said you actually know the Atlantic Ocean, similar to knowing God. We need to experience God. I was listening to a recent podcast of a gentleman who wrote the book Wild at Heart. He said this, he said, we need to get our kids in front of God as much as possible so they can experience him. I couldn't agree more. Well, at Toledo Christian, as I said, we focus on truth, good, and beauty. We don't want our students to just know the truth, goodness, and beauty, but to live out goodness, be truthful, and love beauty. Let me explain. In Genesis 1, God says this. He says that it is good, it is good, it is good, and it is good. And then when he created humanity, he said it's very good. So there's a hierarchy to God's good, isn't there? He said it's very good. So we want them to understand goodness in God's eyes, beauty as I explained before. And how do you get to the heart? When we see things that are beautiful, don't we? That's how we get there. Another way that we get there is through worship. Pastor Donald Smith last week in his message on Psalm 34 said, if you are a teacher, the praise of God ought to be in your heart while you teach. I couldn't agree more. And the same is true with all of us. We were created to worship. May his praise be continually on our lips. So some other biblical practical steps real quick that we can take on is 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18, where it says this, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. So God's word is telling us to fix our eyes on him, right? So we can see. He also tells us what to wear. I thought this was an interesting story. Just last week, I had a teacher, 2 weeks ago actually, come up to me, and she said, you know, I feel really called to tell this story to our faculty and staff. And so in devotions a week ago, an elementary teacher came up front and she said, I went on a missions trip this past summer. And I couldn't help but feel God saying to me, protect the children. And what led to from that was multiple conversations in prayer and all kinds of things to finally saying, we need to put on the full armor of God. We need to teach our kids to do that. And so Ephesians 6, 10 and 20 to 20 says this, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. I encourage you guys to read that whole passage. But to every day, put that armor of God on. I close with this. There was a junior high teacher that wrote this towards the end of last year. She said, one morning before school started, I saw one of my students walking in the hall with her father. I couldn't help but notice the quiet ways he spoke to her, the careful way he watched her. I remember thinking, wow, this child is so precious to him. Caught up in how sweet it was to see them together, I almost didn't notice what happened next. As the girl walked away from her father, she walked directly into my classroom. I realized that he was entrusting to my care the most important thing in the world to him, his daughter. For the next few hours and maybe even the rest of her life, I would have an impact on her heart, her mind, and her character. I can't thank this church enough for being a part of Toledo Christian Schools. And I know as I look, I see familiar faces all around the room. There are people in here that were on the very first board, as I see, that ever assembled. And so thankful for all of you as you prayed and you fasted. And we are where we are today. It's an incredible place. I encourage you to come and visit, take a tour. I'd love to walk you around. But let's finish in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, your word says to guard our hearts. Help us to do just that. Open our eyes to see the truths in your instructions. And then, Lord, may we be clear about our practices where we apply well-planned experiential things that help us to convey and experience your truth, your goodness, and your beauty. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
A couple things before we dismiss. One, can we thank again all of our presenters today for their great work? It really is exciting to be a part of a church that is so committed not merely to get people into our doors, but to take the good news of Jesus Christ to our city and to not only even our city and our state and our nation, but also our world. Acts 1:8 says that Jesus told his followers that you'll be my witnesses. One translation literally says martyrs, which is quite a sobering thought. But you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And we have a responsibility, we have a privilege to not only participate in what God's doing in Jerusalem, our city, Toledo, but also the broader area of Judea and Samaria, which we define as kind of our faith missions, our home missions and faith missions partners, and also the ends of the earth. And our Alliance family, as most of you know, is one of the most dynamic global families of any group that I know sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. In fact, 10% of Alliance members are in the United States, which means 90% of our family is actually in other countries around the world. And one of those countries that most of you are aware of is the nation of Germany. I had the privilege earlier this year with my wife to go and lead worship at a conference in Germany. And doors continue to open up in the nation of Germany. Our missions committee met this past week, and we haven't finalized everything, but we're looking at new ways to maybe adopt Germany and put a little more focus there. We're all over the world. The Alliance is all over the world. But specific doors of opportunity have come to Germany. So you'll hear more about that in coming weeks. But specifically, there's an opportunity to go to Berlin around Thanksgiving. The Envision team in Berlin, they're looking for Americans to come and serve for about 10 days around Thanksgiving. They work with artists in what is, many believe, is the most unchurched city in the world, the city of Berlin. And it's kind of a long shot, and I told them, I'm like, Thanksgiving? We're usually busy eating turkey around then and watching football. But I wanted to extend the invitation to you, church family, if any of you might be interested. This isn't like a commitment, but if you're like, wow, I would love to go to Berlin around Thanksgiving. I can get some time off work, or maybe I'm retired. If you're interested, just please see me or contact the office in the next 24 hours or so. I need to get back with them to see if there's any possibility of us putting a team together to go this November to Berlin. Now, having said that, I want to turn our attention back local and invite Michael and Janine and their team from Visible Church to come forward. I'd also like all of our elders to come forward. This is a really special moment. It's something that, to the best of my knowledge, it's been decades since First Alliance Church has commissioned a new church. And there's a lot of talk. The number one question I get asked about church planting, people say, aren't there enough churches in this city? Like, do we really need new churches? I got some data just a couple weeks ago that suggested that as a nation, before COVID, we were closing a net 1,500 churches a year. Just think about that for a second. That means more churches closed than started. So with all the new churches starting, new ministries, new things coming out, there were a net 1,500 fewer churches. We need more churches to reach more people. And specifically, we need different types of churches to reach different types of people. Because as great as First Alliance is, I see some empty seats and I know there's some people outside that aren't here. which is why we need other churches. We need our sister churches. We need to be planting new churches and starting new works. Amen? Amen. And it thrills me to no end to be have a tiny part and for us as a church to participate in what God's been doing through Michael and Janine and Visible Church. You've heard Michael talk about their launch tonight. We're also partnering with Will Henderson and Lead Community Church, and he'll be speaking here in two weeks. You'll get to hear more from Will. We just got word this week we're going to be allowing another church to meet in our fellowship hall on Sunday evenings coming up. And so God's just creating opportunities for us to partner with, I call them spiritual entrepreneurs, people called by God to start new, different works of the kingdom to reach people that we're not reaching for whatever reason. One thing I specifically think of, Michael, about you guys, what time are you meeting? 5 o'clock. It's 11:43. There are people in our city right now that are sleeping. They would be more apt to go to Visible Church than First Alliance if for that reason alone. Some of you night owls are like, maybe I should check this out. And you should check this out. Because Visible Church is not our competition. Visible Church is our family. And it is an incredible joy to commission you guys this morning to send you off, to launch you to this new, exciting work. And I know there's more than four people in Visible Church, just so that you're clear about that. But this is the team that's been able to gather this morning. So I'm going to ask all of our elders to come up, and we're gonna lay hands on you guys and send you off. And church, I would like you to stand as well, and you can extend your hand forward. Let's pray. Almighty God, I thank you that your church cannot be contained in one building, in one place. It is your people, your bride, your children all over the world. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And I thank you and praise you for the work that you're doing in and through Michael and Janine and through this team. We pray that this new expression, this fresh expression of your kingdom would reach people that we've never been able to reach at First Alliance. That it would transform hearts and lives for eternity. All the things that Dr. Scott talked about earlier, education being about transformation, about the formation of lives, having eternal significance. The work that they're doing is of incredible value. I thank you for the way that Michael and Janine have proven themselves faithful in these past couple years, their heart for you, their passion for your kingdom. And we pray, Lord, that you would do even greater things in them and through them and their team. Lord, we know the enemy wants to do everything to destroy them. And in Jesus' name, we pray for protection. We pray for boldness. We pray for confidence. We pray for unity. We pray for your peace, Lord, that you would shelter them with your presence, that people would ask the reason for the hope that they have, and that they would not merely do events, but they would live a lifestyle that would be so attractive to those that they encounter. Lord, may your kingdom come and your will be done in Visible Church as it is in heaven for your glory. And we commission them now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.